The final words of a dying father to his pastor's son. Walter, having a pastorate is fine, but why don't you give your life to recruiting and sending out other ministers and missionaries to country churches without leadership? You should be able to send out at least 100 men in your lifetime. The dying man was Walter Duff Sr. and his son, Walter Duff Jr. These words, together with the vision of Helen Duff Baugh, who was Walter Jr.'s sister, was the instrument that God used to raise up the work of Village Missions and to bring it into existence. It was a ministry designed to partner with local churches, providing full-time qualified pastoral leadership so that those churches could have the attention, the full attention of a shepherd, and those communities could have the watchful care of an ambassador of Christ. Where it was necessary, the mission made it possible for those churches to have leadership by subsidizing the pastor's income, so his attentions didn't need to be divided between working and providing for his family and serving the church and local community. So on September 9th, 1948, at Cannon Beach Conference Center, Village Missions was born. Walter Duff was the national director, a post that he held for some 41 years. And the Lord richly blessed his ministry. The generation that knew Walter Duff is kind of moving towards the horizon. There are many who are part of the mission now who didn't know Walter Duff and Edith Duff personally. But they were a tremendous blessing. They were like a mother and father to those early generations of Village missionaries. And although they were often challenging, they were comforting and encouraging as well. The mission enjoyed the support of Stonecroft Ministries, which was a work that was begun by Helen Baugh, Duff Baugh, and a woman by the name of Mary Clark, a work that began as an evangelistic outreach to professional women. And the two ministries, Village Missions and Stonecroft Ministries, worked side by side for many years. And Stonecroft Ministries faithfully supported the work of VM. In fact, for many years, during the Christmas season, the Christian Women's Clubs would have a craft sale and a special project. And monies were raised that were then sent out as a Christmas gift to the Village missionaries, which was a tremendous blessing to the missionaries over the years. Just this last September, then, Village Missions entered into its 66th year of ministry. And here at Sunnyside, we've been a part of that work since the middle 60s, somewhere between 46 to 50 years, and have seen many faithful Village missionary pastors and families come and serve this congregation. I think it began with Norm and Carolyn Fitch, and along the way, Steve Darnes was a pastor here, as well as, of course, Jerry and Barb Urbeck, along with many others. Some of the milestones for the mission as it grew and developed and the numbers increased. In 1968, the work began in Canada. And today there are something between 30 and 35 Village Missions fields spread across Canada. My parents were Village missionaries in Canada for some 20 years, starting out in a little fishing village on the east coast of Nova Scotia, and then moving all the way across to northern British Columbia, to a little community called Rose Prairie, and then finally in Garrington, Alberta, for 8 years. In 1989, Reverend Jack Kennedy began to work alongside Walter Duff as an associate director, and then in 1991 he took the reins himself as Reverend Duff retired from full-time ministry. And then in 2000, Reverend Brian Wexler became the executive director. The mission is presently working together with 233 churches across the United States and Canada. And from its inception, the mission has been committed to three singularities, three core convictions, three core commitments. One God, one community, one mission. And this morning it's our privilege to have three veteran village missionaries with us. And I've asked these men if they would share with us from their own experience with the mission about these three convictions, these three singularities. Cloyce and Pat Drake, of course, are no strangers to us. We appreciate their ministry over the last year. Jeff and Ann Pratt, also serving faithfully here for a few months. And, of course, our own JQ and Carolyn Hunter. And before those men come, I also want to acknowledge the fact that we've got several Village Missions kids here this morning. If you're a Village Missionary kid, raise your hand. So the mission is well represented here at Sunnyside. It's been well supported through the life of this church, and we are thankful for the work of VM. I didn't get my calculator out to do the math, but there's something in the neighborhood of 200 years of village missionary service represented. Actually, it's more than that. It would be like 220 years of village missionary service represented in this room this morning. And so I'm going to ask Cloyce if he'll come and just share with us for a few minutes, and then Jeff is going to come, and then JQ is going to come.
Wow, thank you, Pastor Guy, for that great reminder of where we all came from. Wow, what an honor to be with you today. I was pretty excited back in the 50s when I was going to Bible school back in New York State, when a man by the name of Walter Duff came and had a chapel service in our school. He showed colored slides in those days of all the work in rural America, and I can't tell you how much it meant to me to see these slides and to hear his presentation, because it was at that particular time in the wintertime when he was there showing these pictures that God seemed to tap me on the shoulder and say, "This is where I want you to go." By then, I'd gotten married. I got married during Christmas break. And 6 weeks of time, I didn't let that all go by. I got married. Thank you very much. Pat's still my first wife and only wife and last wife. And we've been serving God since 1960. And the day after John F. Kennedy got elected, back in those days, 1960, we left the very next morning with our 55 Dodge and our old trailer with the Model A Ford chassis on it, with everything we thought we owned, and headed for Stonecrop, because we didn't know where we were going to go. We just knew we were going to go west. And we came to Stonecrop. We spent 6 weeks at Stonecrop getting orientation and working on the buildings there and helping in any way we could. Our only daughter and our only child at that time was sitting in the high chair as we sat there with Mrs. Duff and Mrs. Baugh and Miss Clark, I mean, and our little daughter Cindy was sitting in the high chair. Today, she and her husband are village missionaries in Ocean Park, Washington. So those things just happen to start somewhere, and they never seem to end. We're glad that we are village missionaries. And we're glad that we are following the call that God placed upon us. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, there's one body, one spirit, just as you were also called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in you all. And to each one of you is given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. God has given us grace to serve all these years. We only got to serve two fields. Some people say, well, that was kind of boring, wasn't it? No, there wasn't a bit of boredom in all that. In 1961, we started our first assignment at Brennan, Washington, up on the Olympic Peninsula. When we arrived there and saw the Hood Canal and all the salt water and the fishing and the hunting and all that, I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. And then, but Mrs. Baugh reminded me while I was at Stonecrop, you don't go out west to hunt and fish, Mr. Drake, you go out there to win souls. I'm glad she reminded me of that. And We spent 6 wonderful years at Brennan. It became self-supporting after about 3 years, I suppose, or 4. And then by then, Mr. Duff was on the phone with me, and his philosophy was, once you've been on the field about 5 years, it's kind of time to move on and start another work. Well, and so he wanted me to come to Oregon, and we did. And January 11th, 1967, we landed in Dilley, Oregon, over there. And we served that church for 35 and a half years. That's a long time. And it was just indescribable blessing to serve our God during those years, to see people's lives change, to see marriages salvaged, to see people brought out of addictions that were just unbelievable, to see children grow up and want to believe in the Lord. When we flip-flopped roles with my assistant in 2001, we baptized 15 people in the tank that day, and it was a day of great rejoicing. And since then, we've been associate missionaries. And that means that instantly we signed the papers to be associates with Village Missions to go wherever they wanted to send us. Well, we've served everywhere from Galena, Alaska, to Cora, Montana, to Tenset, Idaho, to other places in Idaho and Washington, up near Seattle. And then we've served here, and we have served in Forest Grove, and we have served in Cornelius, and we've served at Hillside, and we've served wherever we go. We still preach about one God, one Lord. He's the only one that can save. We've been able to see people's lives so changed. We are still doing chaplain duty. I do chaplain duty at our hospital out there in my free time. And I preach a couple of Sundays a month at Banks, Oregon right now. And they let me take a leave of absence to come here between December and July 20 to serve you. And what an honor it was to be here. We felt welcome here. And we thank you for your support of Village Missions. We thank you for the love and grace and mercy you show to your missionaries that you have now. You're going to be well served with this couple that are here with you right now, because they've got a track record of faithfulness, and it's great to have them here in this church. I saw your Pastor Jerry this week at the doctor's office. Saw Barb in the hallway, and she says, please go visit Jerry. He's in the basement. He's in an oxygen tank. And I thought, oh, my goodness. So I went down there to see Pastor Jerry. He is in an oxygen tank, and he's getting 5 times as much oxygen as he normally would to help that wound to heal that he's been dealing with for a long time. And the doctors believe it's starting to heal the way it should. And he was encouraged as I talked with him on the phone through the glass. Continue your faithfulness to God. He will never disappoint you.
Communities are a vital part to the building of God's church. Matthew 9:35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. In Luke 13:22, and he, Christ, went through the cities and villages, teaching. Luke 17, Christ entered a certain village. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. I used to tease in earlier years that Jesus was our first village missionary because he was in the villages. In Joshua 15, when the land was divided up under Joshua, you read in that chapter, cities, towns, and villages all through that closing chapter. Christ said in Acts 1:8, and ye shall be witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and also and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Our first field with Village Missions was Valsetts, Oregon. And I used to say, the uttermost part of the earth, that's Valsetts, because it was a 16-mile dirt road in over the Coast Range Mountains from Falls City. But what we do see in these cities and towns are villages, small communities, hamlets, hollows. If you're from down south, you'll say holler. Creeks and cricks, Same thing, just depends where you're from. In New England, it's Bynes and Kies. Valleys, mountains, plains, wide spots in the road, highways and byways, down country roads, dirt roads, and gravel roads. And in all those places, you find little needy villages and communities where people need the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ and hearing the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ reached out into these communities during his earthly ministry. He went into these villages. There were outcasts there, those 10 lepers we spoke of a moment ago. There was the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well. She said, "Come see a man who told me all about myself. In fact, he knows more about me than the Inquirer does." There was the demonic man of Gadarene. There were publicans, sinners, common folks, but they all had one need, the Lord Jesus Christ. These small communities are out of the way, and they are no less important in the building of God's church today. They're filled with spiritual needy people, lost, slaves in bondage and sin, and they don't even know it, wrapped up in their depravity, and they need one message, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the preaching of God's word. And that's what Village Missions does, preach the word and love the people. And so God calls men like that are represented here today to go and serve in these little villages for the glory of God. The preaching of Jesus Christ by these men in these communities is paramount. Our objective is to take the word and the message of Jesus Christ. Many here have been affected by Village Missionaries over the years. I know last summer when we were here, Ann and I counted, I think there were about 8 or 9 Village Missions kids that were all here. And as I told you, it spoke well of their parents. But the impact that Village Missions has just in this church, just in this community, was overwhelming. When we heard a while back that Guy and Jenny were coming, I said to Ann right away, I said, "Wow." I said, "Lord, you do know what you're doing. You couldn't have a more wonderful couple than Guy and Jenny." We've known them many years. We knew Jenny's parents, the Farises. Guy's parents, as he said, served in Canada. Jerry and Barb Urbach were here for many, many years. Mr. and Mrs. Hunter, all those years. Their son Paul was a Village Missionary, and now his ministry has been expanded and he's in Africa. Cloyce and Pat, their daughter Cindy is married to a Village Missionary. Their other son is a pastor as well. You see, God calls people to himself, as also there are people that have served faithfully in churches as well, and that is just as necessary. But there is a specific calling where God calls men and women to himself to serve and preach the word. The Clarks, both of their parents are Village Missionaries. And Nathan's parents, they're not now, but they had served in Village Missions as well. And it just astounds me how God uses and calls different people to himself. We served 5 different fields with Village Missions. And every one of those fields was perfect for us. And we stand in retirement and look back, and we never could have orchestrated something like this. And you can't even begin to know the difference that preaching the word that many years and going to these different communities and the difference it's made. The Lord God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is the captain of our salvation. He is Melchizedek, our eternal high priest, with an eternal covenant. And it's that triune Godhead that established the Sunnyside Community Church these many, many years ago and has continued to bless and will continue to bless and move forward. And it's all because the mindset of a sovereign, eternal God from eternity past. He bought us with his own blood. He sought us by the Spirit of God working in our hearts and lives. He wrought the work of establishing the Sunnyside Community Church, and he brought people like Guy and Jenny, Norm Fitch, all the way down through the line, Urbax to today, and amen for such a Lord God who cares about this community that you have the preaching of God's word. Thank you.
I discovered the United States of America in 1922 in southern Oklahoma. I didn't know I had eight brothers ahead of me. I thought I might be all alone, but it was not so. But there were no churches around either. We had a little schoolhouse about a quarter of a mile away. 18 or 20 people went to school there, and my cousin was the teacher. But we had no church. My mom read the Bible to us at home. Dad could not read. He had no education to read the Bible. But he was willing for mom to read the Bible to us. We sat around this table. I can remember a couple of my brothers were married and gone, but the rest of us gathered around the table for breakfast, and then my mother would read the Bible to us. I don't know what it did to me, but it had to do something to me. The Word of God is a powerful force in the life of individuals. But I wondered about churches. Eventually, my dad moved us about 25 miles away, close to a place called Springer. That was a very small community, but it did have a high school. I started going to high school there. We played basketball outside. We had no gymnasium. We played baseball outside. We did all of those things. But when we played basketball, we had to mark off our court, and at a quarter and halftime, we had to mark it off again, because running over those chalk stakes would blot them out, so it had to be done again. So my life was very different from a lot of yours, but I grew up. I graduated from high school. Then I wondered, what am I going to do? The Second World War came along, and three of my brothers were drafted, and I did not want to be drafted. So I decided to volunteer and go into the Navy. I had no idea what God was going to do with me in the Navy. But when I joined the Navy, they sent me to San Diego, California. And can you believe it? From San Diego, they sent me to the University of Wisconsin for some training. The first Sunday I was there, I went to church. And I saw a cute little girl there. She's sitting right back here now. And I don't know why, but I felt God had sent me there for this purpose, to meet this girl. When the church was over, there was a fellow there that had gotten acquainted with us, and he said, if you guys don't mind, I'll drive you back to the campus. We said, sure, that's great. So we got in his car and started down the street. And this lady and her friend were walking down the street. And he said, if you guys don't mind riding in the rumble seat, we will give these ladies a ride. I said, sure, that's great. So he stopped and we got out. And I said to this young lady, would you like to ride in the rumble seat with me? That's kind of stupid, isn't it? She said, sure. We got acquainted in the rumble seat of an automobile. Do all of you know what a rumble seat is? It's the trunk that goes back. It has a seat and a back that lifts up so you can sit down there. So we got acquainted in the rumble seat of an automobile. God kept us together. I was convinced that she was the one for me. Well, the time came for us to get married. She says, I never asked her if she would marry me. I just took it for granted. Well, she did. My parents were surprised when I brought her home down into Oklahoma. Now, you know, things were a lot different in those days. In my home in Oklahoma, we had two bedrooms. Mom and Dad used one of them, and the nine of the rest of us used the other one. No, we didn't. We had a porch that was long stretched out on the side of the house. And we had three or four beds in there, and that's where most of us slept. After my sister was born, so she took the bedroom. Life was a lot different in those days for us than it is for a lot of you. Most of you grew up in a nice home, your own bedroom, and all of those things. I didn't. And I praise God for it, because I came to know the Lord and what He would do for us when we trusted Him. Well, after I got married, we started farming. Because that's all I knew. I grew up as a farmer. Started farming in Wisconsin. Had a dairy herd. And I was there for 5 or 6 years. And I developed such good cows and calves that people came from Idaho or Iowa to buy my calves. It was a tremendous opportunity that we had, and I was doing great. One night, we went to church in Whitewater, Wisconsin. A couple of our kids were not feeling well, so my wife was going to stay home with them, and I went to church that night. God got a hold of my heart in a different way. A film was shown that night, and in the film, somehow, God got my attention. And I said, okay, God, I will do whatever you want me to do. I went home and told my wife, we're through farming. God has called me. And I guess I need to go to Bible school so I can get prepared to serve Him. That's the decision we made. And when I began to tell my neighbors that I was going to sell all my cows, if they were interested, we would sell them to them. They said, you're crazy. I said, well, I guess all pastors are crazy. I don't know. Maybe all preachers are crazy. But God has called me, and so I'm leaving. We're going to sell out and go to Bible college. That's what we did. We sold all of our cows and all of our equipment and everything else and got a truck loaded up and went to Kansas City. That's the only thing I really wanted. I heard about Moody Bible Institute, but we didn't want to live in Chicago. We heard about Kansas City Bible College. This was over the radio. So we decided to go to Kansas City Bible College. That's where I went. And God got hold of my heart more than ever before. And I was so glad that I'd gone to Kansas City Bible College. I got acquainted with people who knew the Lord and who could teach the Word of God, and it really got hold of me. And while I was there, there was a man came by that I'd never met before. I was getting close to graduation. I wondered, what am I going to do? And I had considered going to Dallas to, what is that school in Dallas? Yeah, Dallas Theological Seminary. I thought, that's where I'll go, and I'll get prepared. But then the next Sunday or the next Sunday, sometime soon after that, a man came to our church, or to the Bible college where I was going. I've forgotten which it was, but his name was Walter Duff. And he was telling about village missions and all that God needed people in these rural areas to teach the Word of God and lead people to Jesus Christ. I was decided already, right then, That's where I need to be. So I talked to him afterwards, and he said, okay. Well, I graduated, and they sent us to Nebraska. Nebraska was an isolated place, and we were sent in to live in this house with two small bedrooms. And we had, what did we have, five children? Four. And so we took the kitchen as our bedroom. They took the other two bedrooms, and we established a kitchen out on a screened-in porch on the back side of it. We were doing okay. But when November came along, Mr. Duff came by, and he said, things have got to change. You can't live here. I said, that's up to you. We're having a great time. But he decided we were going to move. So they moved us to a place called Ingalls, Kansas. That's between Dodge City and Garden City. What a place. We began to preach the Word of God, and people began to be saved. I decided we need to have an evangelistic meeting. So I called Kansas City, and the fellow there who was in the Bible college said, sure, I'll be glad to come out. So he came out. We started a week of meetings, and it was incredible what God did. I think there were between 35 and 40 people saved that week in that isolated area. God was doing a marvelous thing. So it attracted me. I wanted to be evangelistic too and do some of these meetings. That's what happened. I became an evangelist for Village Missions. And I went to a lot of fields and saw many, many people come to know Jesus Christ. I'll just relate one of them to you. There was one up in Montana where I was supposed to go. And the pastor left about 3 weeks before the meeting was supposed to take place. And there were two ladies who went there to hold the meeting until they could get another village missionary on the field. And they contacted me and we talked together. And I said, sure, let's go ahead and have the meeting. I went there to hold the meeting. It was a very small church. It was one of these churches that just had one room and a little bitty porch on the backside. I started preaching, and people began coming and coming. And on one night, we had something like 30 or 35 people come forward to receive the Lord Jesus. I had some doubts in my mind. So I called the pastor who became pastor there a year or so later and asked him about these people. He said, as far as I know, every one of them are still within the body of believers here. So I believed that God was going to use evangelism to do what he wanted to do. So I held evangelistic meetings on many, many fields throughout the states. And God has given me the privilege of seeing many of them preaching for him. I was in our pastor's church up in Canada when he was a little boy. How old were you then?
About 13 or 14.
That 13 or 14-year-old kid. And I was holding a meeting there in his dad's church. God has given me the privilege of seeing so many people who've come to know Jesus Christ where I preached the gospel. And now he's given me the privilege of seeing this young man where I held a meeting, holding this church where it ought to be. God has been so good to me. I could never tell you all the good things that God's done for me and what he has given me in my memory to know about. There's one thing I want to relate to you. It was maybe a year ago, my phone rang. I picked it up, and this fella answered and told me who he was from Kansas. I wondered what he was calling about. He said, I'm dying. It's not going to be long until I'll be dead. But I came to know the Lord while you were here in Ingles, and I know where I'm going. What a thrill it was to know that God had used me to bring this person to know Jesus Christ. And now he's grown older and is dying and knows he's going to heaven. I want to ask you one question this morning. Do you know you're going to heaven? You may be here this morning as an individual who is visiting this church, or maybe you've come for several times. You've never bowed your knee to Jesus Christ. You've never asked him to come into your heart to save you. I encourage you this morning to do that. Don't leave here without being sure that you know Jesus Christ, and that when you leave this life, you're going to heaven, which is a wonderful place. That's where I'm going, and I pray that you will be going too. May God bless you. Thank you, brother.
What a blessing to have the opportunity to hear these accounts, and the things we've heard this morning are, you've heard the heartbeat of Village Missions. It's our privilege as a church to be a part of that. As JQ mentioned, I was introduced to JQ when I was about 12 or 13 years old when he came to our church up in Rose Prairie, British Columbia. And in fact, my mom has a picture of him standing with my dad. I need to get that and show him. But indeed, it is our privilege as a church here at Sunnyside to continue our partnership. In many respects, Sunnyside is not a typical Village Missions church, at least as it finds itself today. There was a time when Sunnyside was a rural community. It was a rural church. It was a small church that needed the support of a work like Village Missions. But really, this is the goal and the desire for every Village Missions church, to see it become established and grow, and yet continue its partnership with the mission. And we have an ongoing relationship with VM. We are one with them with the shared commitment to one God, one community, one mission. Our God is the same God who moved Walter Duff to begin the work. He's the same God who was moving through the years, sending missionaries out into rural communities. He's the one true and living God who is gathering for himself a people from every tribe and tongue and nation and people. The one God of Village Missions is our God. Our community, the one community that God has called not only us, but us to minister to. The people around us here in this area. Not only geographically defined, you know, in terms of neighborhoods and streets and avenues, but also individually defined. Every one of us is connected with a community of people, whether it's at work, in your neighborhood, at school, in your sphere of influence. Every one of us is plugged into a community, and we as a body are called of God to reach into that community and shine with the light of Jesus Christ and carry to them the message of His saving grace and mercy. And so every one of us, in a sense, is a village missionary. We're a part of this fellowship, and we go out from this place weekly into our sphere of influence. And we do so in the name of Christ, by the power of Christ. And our prayer is that He would continue to reach out into communities around us, through us. Our mission is to preach the Word and to love the people. Faith working in love, that's our mission. That's what defines us. We also have opportunity to partner with Village Missions by way of prayer. And in your bulletin, there's a little insert. It's just a monthly calendar, a list of various individuals and needs represented by the mission that we can be praying for. And I encourage you to carry that around in your Bible. It makes a good bookmark. It's a little thick, but it works as a bookmark. And it's a way for you to participate in the work of Village Missions through prayer. We also have the opportunity to partner with them by way of our giving. And there is a regular support that goes out from the church, out of our general fund receipts. There's a percentage that we send to the mission to support the work of the mission. But this morning we have opportunity to contribute in a particular way. There's also a little card that explains about ways that you can get involved personally, supporting the mission either on an ongoing basis if you choose, or just this morning as a one-time gift. And we want to encourage you to do that as the Lord would direct you, however the Lord would direct you to participate in that. And as we dismiss this morning, you'll find a basket at each of the doors. You can just drop your contribution in the basket. You can make your check out to Village Missions and we'll send that to them directly. Or if you choose to make it out to Sunnyside Community Church, we'll just collect those and write a single check and send it on to the mission. These funds will go directly to subsidizing the salary of village missionaries who are working in those small communities. The church is not able, because of their size and other challenges, to support the missionary full-time. And so there's a sense in which Village Missions has become a family of churches helping churches. Although we don't know where all the 233 churches are today, we are linked up with them through the network of Village Missions. And our labors and our contributions are helping those communities have a faithful witness for the gospel. And we are participating in the multiplication of the accounts that we've heard this morning. And there will be testimonies that will be born of faith in Christ and a faithful service for Christ that we will have had a part of because of our association with Village Missions. God began a work some 60 plus years ago, and by the grace of God, that work will continue. And so as we close this morning, we want to just pray God's blessing on the work of Village Missions. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to have Jeff and Ann and Cloyce and Pat, and certainly to have JQ and Carolyn with us on an ongoing basis. But thank you for the opportunity to hear from them this morning, to hear of your work in their own lives, bringing them to yourself in trust, moving them into full-time ministry, hearing of how you worked through them to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to needy souls. Father, we know that these accounts could be multiplied dozens of times through the instrument of Village Missions. We thank you for the work that you are doing through this family of churches, through this organization that is committed to taking the message of one Savior to the scattered communities around our nation and in Canada, preaching the word, loving the people. And Father, we just commend the mission and each of the missionaries to your care. We ask, Lord God, that you will continue to strengthen them, that you will continue to provide for them, that this work might go on. I pray, Father, that weekly as the word goes out, that you would grant ears to hear, hearts and minds to receive the truth, and enter into relationship with Christ and walk faithfully with him. Father, all of this redounds to your glory, because it's all as a result of your grace, of your favor, of your provision. And so we give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.